we're not experts on anything. I've said it before. That's why the idiot dumb is in this. I'm an idiot. And I will just look through it, and I have fun looking at it because this shit happened to us. And if I laugh at something that happened, like when we're laughing because the Japanese Empire got hit with like the craziest 1-2 and they couldn't react, we're not laughing because we're like laughing at them that the nuke got dropped.
Laughing at each other.
We're laughing.
It's like in school when your teacher says something inappropriate and it's like you look at your friend. And they're trying not to laugh, and you can't laugh. You're going to laugh.
You know, when you hear about something crazy, like, you try to picture yourself in a circumstance.
Yeah.
You just will laugh at the absurdity of what it is, yeah. You know, and that's what that is. Imagine that, just getting hit with a nuclear bomb, which I've told you, I think about every day.
Yeah.
Every day, especially with, I delete shit, Twitter, fucking all the time. No.
The planes fly over my house. They are so loud. I think We are quite literally the path. And the planes get, they have bigger planes. My whole house rumbles. I'm like, should I go outside and be worried? Dude, like,
that's so
it's insane how loud they are.
I used to do the same. When I was at my parents, I did the same thing. I would freak out. And I used to sit on my balcony, like every night I would sit on the balcony. And I remember one would just keep getting louder. And you get to the point where like, this just ends with me getting hit with something because it's so fucking loud. I feel
the same way. Yeah, it's terrifying.
But yeah, but we got our person every week. Like this one, this is a chill one. This guy is I want to take the smaller figures. And the idea is like, you know, you could hand a puzzle. We're figuring out the world together here. We're on this journey. Mm-hmm. And we're starting one person in the history of time that's a very small puzzle piece. And if you give a puzzle piece to someone who has an IQ of like, or a puzzle to someone with an IQ of like 55,
exactly,
over some time, that might be years, like for us, for figuring out maybe our whole lifetime.
Yeah,
we'll get some of that puzzle done. Okay,
exactly.
We're just learning. Everyone's learning together. But today we are talking about a British gentleman by the name of John Paul Jones, but born John Paul, I believe, right?
Yeah. Kept that name for a while.
Scotland.
Had to add it on at the end.
Born in Scotland, which was at this time, I mean, I think there was a union between Scotland and England in 1700-something, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8. I believe it's 8, actually, that I'm thinking of it. They had a union, so they're part of them. He's born, and I think when he's young, I know it ships in Scotland. He becomes a shipmate of one of these things.
He was just 10, about like his young age. His family lived near a shipyard. They just used to hang out down there. Why not?
Yeah.
Nothing else to do probably back in the day. You see these new ships coming in and he just hangs out around them. Kind of felt like it was his destiny to
end up being
on one.
He lived after that. After he got on his first ship, it was called Friendship, which I thought was a funny name for a ship. Friendship. That's nice. It was his first ship he was on, and he got, after this, it was literally, he lived a maritime life. He was at sea, and he moved from ship to ship, and then he got on some slave ships, a couple slave ships. He was in merchant ships, but about the age, I don't know, he got older. I don't know what age. I think it was like his late teens, and he, you know, I think you can only, if you are at least somewhat of a, don't have a destroyed soul, you can't see these horrific things happening all the time.
No.
Of what is happening on these slave ships.
Yeah.
He got sick of it. I mean, he grew up, his teens was seeing this every day at sea. And he left.
He started when he was 13. So like, to go back a little bit, he was just like a trader. He would do the trades routes to the West Indies, which is just like the Caribbean.
What is that,
West Indies? It's just like the Caribbean. Because it's when they originally arrived here.
Yeah.
They were doing those Western travels and they thought they were going to go all the way to India, but instead they ran into these islands and then they saw Indians, and that's why they're called Indians, because they thought they were in India, and so they just call it the West Indies now.
And when did he live in the West Indies? Because he started in Scotland, that's where he's born.
It wasn't that he ever lived there. He was kind of just traveling back and forth, doing trading with a ship. So like when he was 13, he signed up for a 7-year apprenticeship, where he was just going to work with the same guy going back and forth. And then he happened to have a brother who was in Virginia, so he would take ships to go up there and see his brother at the same time too.
And think about it. When you're like a teen traveling to the Caribbean all the time, you're probably just hearing about pirates all the time, and pirate stories and myths of pirates. I bet he loved them.
I mean, I guess back in that day, that's crazy. Like, even at this age, if you're traveling the world and you're 13, like, kids on a ship in the middle of nowhere, they have no navigation, no idea when they're going to see land. Yeah, with all these other adults that are dying, getting sick.
Sea shanties. Dude, exactly. He grew up a sailor. Yeah. He was a sailor through and through.
Yep.
And then he left. He got a little bit older. The slave ship he was at was docked in, I believe, Jamaica.
Yeah.
And then he got onto another ship called John.
Before he even got to the slave ships, his apprenticeship, they just ran out of money. So they were just like, sorry, we can't finish it anymore. And I think like 17 at this time. And that's how he ended up in the Indies. And he was just like, didn't know what to do. So he got on the slave ships.
Okay,
Then he started taking trips to Africa as like, again, just a normal mate, a crewmate. Wasn't anything special then.
He was adventurous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the kid lived, by yourself, 13, living as a shipmate, you're a hard-nosed dude.
Yeah. Hard-nosed. I mean, it said there was like 6 or 7 crewmates for like 50 slaves. So like,
so
crazy life they were living on this boat.
He's in Jamaica and that slave ship docks. He decides he doesn't want any more part. He leaves that, gets on another ship in Jamaica. It's called John.
Yeah.
He starts sailing under them. While he's on this voyage, the captain and the first mate die of yellow fever. Both of them die. And he he's younger at this point, but he fucking takes over and he takes captain of the ship. He sails the ship back to, I forget where. I think it was Spain.
Yeah.
And the guy there gives him a reward and he makes him the captain of the ship. He goes on like 2 more voyages with him. 2 more voyages and he got a reward. Like he got paid.
Nice. Yeah. And he was put up to the top where like they were like another merchant ship. And like not just was he captain, he was the person that would now go and pick what goods they are basically buying and bringing back. Like he had full responsibility of the ship.
He was the captain. Yeah.
Yeah. They were just from nothing. Yeah. Slave just happens to get on a boat, like third mate. Luck of death, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there he is.
And captain. When you're a hard mother effer, you're hard when you lead. Yeah. So this guy, he gets his reward. They make him the captain of a new ship. I forget the exact name of that one. He goes on 2 voyages. The second voyage, while they're coming back. Wait, I believe it's the second voyage.
One of his early voyages.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's the second voyage on that ship. It is.
Yeah.
One of the crew members, John Paul Jones says he's doing a mutiny. The crew member was a mutiny over the wages that they were getting.
Yeah.
And like minimum wage. I don't know what it was, but he wasn't getting paid enough. He went to John. John was like, this is a fucking mutiny. Gets the guy, ties him to a mast or something on the boat, and they flog him, which is like you whip him.
Yeah, bad.
He died. He died from, they whipped him and hit him so bad, he dies. Mm-hmm. And this guy is a guy who lives in Scotland. So, you know, he goes back. This is not in John Paul Jones' favor.
Yeah.
He is thrown into jail. I mean, and not only this guy that he killed, he has family in Scotland that are influential.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, you know, that's pretty bad. To kill one guy. Then imagine, he gets out finally. The guy, the governor of wherever, you know, he's kind of a coveted kid. People like him. Mm-hmm. He says, just leave Scotland. He gets in command of another ship. I forget where. The literal exact fucking thing happened.
Yeah.
Another guy accuses him of not paying enough wages or was another problem with the wages. Exactly. And John Paul Jones he kills this guy straight up with a sword this time, stabs him. This guy, John Paul Jones, knows that, like, I'm not in favor in Scotland. Mm. I just killed a dude for this exact same reason. The guy who I killed, I think his family is influential in the courts in Scotland. So he's like, if I go back, I am not, my trial will not be in my favor. He flees.
Yep. Okay, exactly. Yeah. Maybe a little bit of anger issues. Also, maybe, like, dude's 18, 19, like, what would make these, like, old ship dudes respect him? Maybe that's just what he wanted. But, yeah, flogs the first guy to death. They go to trial.
You're right, dude.
Blame it on the yellow fever, the first one. Second one, stabbing with a sword. Kind of a little bit harder to argue that wasn't just, like, external.
He did blame that on the yellow fever?
The first one, he didn't die from the flogging right away.
Oh.
But then he got yellow fever, but everyone was like, he got yellow fever because he just had a ton of wounds on his back. And then the second one, it was just like, stabbed them dead instantly, sword. Like, everyone saw it happen. No arguing that. And then I'm pretty sure the second guy, he was from the Caribbean, so he couldn't go anywhere.
So he was just like,
well, damn.
Yeah.
Guess I'm done with that. Not a great way to start his career, but...
Well,
he cared.
He wants his power, I guess. He wants to be in charge, and if you complain about wages, this is my ship.
Yeah.
Don't complain to me, dude. Agreed. Then you're dying. Yeah. I can't imagine the second one. I think he didn't have favor with crew members already. Probably so if not. He was probably like, I'm going to flog this guy, people would be kind of... What? You just killed someone from this. Mm-hmm. So he just stabs him with his sword.
Right away.
Just fucking
murders. Yeah, I guess, but like, probably with anything back in the day, he probably was taking a lot more money than the crewmen were getting. They were doing all the work on the ship, sailing the seas, living their life on the seas, seeing their family.
Young, greedy man. He wants his fucking money.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
So he flees. And, you know, he doesn't know what to do, as you said. Can't go back to Scotland, can't really go back to the West Indies. He writes some letters to some people over in America. I believe one of them was Benjamin Franklin. He was trying to explain his situation.
Yeah.
He said, I did this in self-defense. Mm. This was a mutiny, and I self-defended myself. And I stabbed that man with that sword. And yeah, that guy did also die of yellow fever. Yep, I didn't kill him.
No.
Yeah. No, that guy died of yellow fever.
Exactly.
I need somewhere to go. He flees to Virginia.
Correct.
He's written his letters to the colonies at the time. This is prior.
Right before. Yep.
Prior to the revolution. He writes his friends to the member of, it wasn't Congress, but whatever. The guy's kind of elites, political people over there. Benjamin Franklin, one of them. It might have been Thomas Jefferson,
His
too.
Brother. I think his brother was one. That was who he, like, why he chose Virginia. Because he had family that was, like, a little bit well-established.
So
one of the early people over here making money.
His brother's got a house, like a nice house. Exactly. He's over there killing it in America. So now you're going to have to help me with the timelines on this.
Yeah.
He goes to Virginia, Fredericksburg, and his brother dies. And his brother doesn't have any kids, doesn't have any family there. So he gets his estate, and he lives in a pretty baller house in Virginia.
And he's a pretty go-getter guy. So, like, he's always involved in shit. So I'm pretty sure at this time, too, he got himself involved in the Masons in Virginia, which is like...
Well, he did get himself involved in the Masons.
So it's like a pretty good show that, like, they didn't really care what he had done previously.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was like a powerful fella. He had gotten himself far before. So it was like he was pretty good at making that... relationships with the people. So
how did his brother die? Did you see that?
I don't know,
man. This guy's the kiss of death, but it always kind of works out for him, doesn't
it? Back in the day, no one lived very long, so as we'll see with John Paul Jones.
So he does this,
and this is where he takes on his name, is it not?
Yes,
he adds Jones at the end, as this is gonna like make him a different person that people aren't gonna know that he's already murdered two people now in his career. As it's like a pretty big thing that like goes around.
He's asking to lead ships in America later, and he just literally killed two members. Exactly. So maybe, you know, he learns from his mistakes. Maybe he's not going to kill anybody on his ships anymore. Gets to Virginia. He loves the American colonies.
Yeah.
He really likes it. 1775 comes around. Shit's starting to get kind of hot between America and big old Britain over there. Mm-hmm. Starting to throw in some taxes that might be pushing us a little bit too fucking far.
It is.
And John Paul Jones sees this, and he's always ready for a fight.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck Britain. Seriously, fuck Britain. He leaves, goes to Philadelphia, and he says, I volunteer my services to you to fuck up Britain.
It kind of seems like he didn't really care.
He didn't.
Whose side he was on.
No, he joins Russia.
Spain, Ireland.
Yeah, he just kind of wants to...
Let me have a ship and I'll go sink other ships.
That's
what a guy you want on your side,
right? I was going to say, it's not really like, power. The dude is a straight-up pirate. Yeah. That's what he wants to do with his life. He's like, I want to live at sea, and if someone tries to challenge me, I will kill you.
Yep.
I will blow your ship up, bitch, and I will be the last one there. Because he's down to fight.
Yeah.
He always is down to fight. He gets there, offers his services. One guy, I don't know why, Richard Henry Lee, he advocates for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know really why, but this guy had say in at the time Philadelphia. And this gets him his first position in the Continental Navy, which is first lieutenant. And he is first lieutenant of a ship called Alfred. Right?
Yep.
Ship called called Alfred. It's not a warship, I don't believe. I don't know what it is. But his job on Alfred is... Actually, it was a warship. I think it might... I don't know. Because there's some things that are... There's ships that are made that are called like a sloop of war or something like that. And they're designed specifically to... battle. And then there's some that are just frigates.
Yeah.
This was a 24 gun frigate. His name USS Alfred. And he gets actually become, which is interesting, he's the first person ever to get a raise the flag on a naval vessel. That's the U.S. It was the colonies flag at the time, but it's the U.S. colonies.
Yeah.
And he's the first one ever to do that. His Jolly Roger, bro.
Pretty legit.
He's a captain. So he gets to do that. And then his job basically is you're going to go up and down the coast of the colonies, and anything, any merchant ship you see that has that British flag, you're going to fuck it up. You're going to plunder it, ransack it, and you're going to take whatever they're trying to give to the British, you're going to take that, you're going to give it back to the colonies.
Yep. Perfect life for him.
Perfect job for this dude.
No complaint.
The most impressive part of his utilization in the Revolutionary War is that they just like were, they found this monster and they were like, let's just point this guy in a certain direction and let him go. And he did that. He did great with this. After this, they put him in charge of a new ship. It's called the USS Providence.
Yep.
And this one, like I was saying, it's a sloop of war. That's what they call it. And it's like a gunship that's made specifically for this. They got fucking cannons, platforms, people to fuck you up with the guns. And they pretty much tell him, it's like, time for you to be a pirate. We see what you can do. Go. And in 6 weeks, he captures 16 British ships. He not only does this, he goes on full assaults. Like there was a port, I think it was Isle Royale or something. I don't know if it was a port or a camp they had on the coast, whatever it was. There was like a fleet of ships lined up. He leads an assault with his new ship. They gave him a new ship after the Alfred. It was the USS Providence. Yeah. Takes this thing, ransacks, I mean, takes, frees American soldiers, blows up a bunch of their fleet, takes it. I think he captured a ship too. Beast shit.
Definitely.
He's a pirate.
I mean, he grew up on it. He knew it better than anyone else.
That's what he hears these stories. He fell in love and he became a fucking pirate and he was winning. That's the main thing. He was winning at everything he did.
Exactly.
And the USS, the USA, and saw what the USS Providence was doing and what they did under this man. And they're like, I got an idea. Put him on a new ship. This ship's called the USS Ranger. They say, we need you to go sail to France. We need you on their territory. So he sails this shit all the way to France. When he gets there, you know, he's already kind of made a name for himself. Also, wait, they gave him a new flag, by the way. The new, whatever the new continent, it was like the first time the USS previewed this flag, he was the first ship to have it. So every time that's happened, he's been the first. Father, by the way, that's his nickname, the father of the US Navy. They have him set sail to Europe. He gets to France. He falls in love with Paris. He really likes Paris. And Ben Franklin's there.
Yeah.
That's what Ben Franklin did in the war. They sent him to France. Ben Franklin really was just kind of a partying douchebag. But I mean, he was very arrogant. He was a founding father. He's awesome.
Powerful
but
people.
I'm just saying as who he is as a person.
Yeah.
And he gets there. And Ben Franklin's job is, you know, I'm trying to convince France to get in the war. Kind of, he works. I mean, I don't know if he works with them, but he stays in France for a little bit while Ben Franklin's trying to accomplish this goal.
Yeah, I mean, he's very good at working his way into the powerful people. It seems like...
I think people like him.
He is. He's just an influential person. He must have that good persona, which is like what any of the people we've talked about in the past. It's like, you don't get the power without having that ability to like the charisma. Maybe they feared him. Maybe it was like,
I think people feared him.
You could just tell he wanted to go out there and destroy stuff. And maybe that's what you need, especially getting in the war. Like, yeah, France sees this guy and they're like, okay, maybe they mean business.
He gets there and Ben Franklin, he's like, boy, let's go. They party together. They do whatever. They convince France. It was really after a major battle, I think, in the, I don't know where it was. Major battle happened, and it kind of sparked France to realize, okay, they can win this war. We can really hurt them right now. So France jumps in. Your boy John Paul Jones thinks, you know, job done. Job over. We did that. Mission complete. Back to the ship. He leaves. Gets on. While he leaves, first time ever. Now, there's two things. The French army, a bunch of the French sailors there. This guy's renowned by this point. Mm. He's a hero. They give him a salute while he leaves. First time ever a foreign military has given the U.S. a salute, because we just were a country. Yeah. But it could have been, it was the same day the alliance treaty was written, so it could have been because of that and they were leaving, but it was for John Paul
right
Jones.
Rightfully. All the time.
Rightfully by him. I mean, he's a... When you read about people like him, you got to think, there's no way this guy is as cool as he makes me feel when I see this. Like, when I'm looking at him, I'm thinking of a fucking Pirates of the Caribbean character.
Yeah. It seems too good to be true. Like, everywhere he goes, everything always works out in his favor. Can't do no wrong. More and more gets given to him.
So, he does that. He leaves. He's like, he hears those salutes, and he goes off, and he's like, okay, they know. I'm king. Mm-hmm. Time to fuck England up. He runs out. First thing he does is his tactics, while he sails to England, his tactics basically, it's like, it is pirate maneuvers. Mm-hmm. He is sailing quickly, fucking someone up, sailing quickly somewhere, fucking someone up. It's quick shit. And he's just avoiding the British Navy basically the whole time, like a full-on encounter with the British Navy. First thing he does is the HMS Drake is sailing. They meet in contact or in battle. Mm. The John Paul Jones and the Ranger, they fuck it up.
Not even an hour.
Quick
work with them.
And this is a big ship.
Yep.
So this happens, and now the British press is like, what is going... Literally, the main title on these things was, where is the British Navy?
Yeah.
John Paul Jones at this point is... I mean, he's known to the British. It's probably the scariest figure ever. They're like, there is a pirate, American pirate out there fucking us up. And to the America, this guy is a hero. Mm-hmm. This guy is the coolest person ever at this point. I mean, and you should see the art about him. I don't know when it was commissioned, but there's some arts, like during the one battle against the Seraphis and the Count of Saratoga or something. And he looks like the coolest person ever. He's standing with the sword with flames shooting out. It's the wildest thing ever. He's just a badass through and through.
Yep.
So he dominates the Drake, sinks it. The British is in shambles. Their press is saying, where is the British Navy? And this is a real, like, symbolic defeat, because it's showing that the Royal Navy is not invincible. Mm-hmm. And everyone's starting to feel this. And America is starting to feel this. And John Paul Jones is like, I felt this, dog. I will win. 1v1 with me. And he's basically a One Piece character. He's like, 1v1 with me in the open sea, I'm going to dominate you. After this, goes to Whitehaven. Whitehaven parks it. He comes by night. Whitehaven's a big... do you know where it is in Britain?
I don't. Probably on the southern.
It's on some coast. He comes by night. Port city. Stops out. Takes 16 guys. They sail... Him and 16 crew. Mm-hmm. They sail in on like a dinghy or something. Literally light the entire fleet into... It goes into flames. They light up the fleet. Destroy an entire fleet. And, you know, they're thinking, man... We're fucking... He's bombing them from the outside, because that's kind of what they do. And I don't feel bad. This is what England was doing to the colonies the whole time. Like, they're like bombing places. Like right outside of Nantucket, a bunch of those places just get... Those are port cities. They get bombed the shit out of from however many yards away. It's crazy. There's nothing you can do. It's probably terrifying.
Yeah.
But he does this to Whitehaven. And then he's not even like... He sails up the coast and he goes and tries to find where the Earl of the island or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He goes to the Earl's house. He's like, I'm going to just hold this bitch for ransom. Mm-hmm. He goes in there. He's not there. It's the Earl's family. And it says that he sat down and had tea with his family, and then they left.
Yeah, it said he took all their silver. That's what he said he wanted. And he said they liked him so much that after the war, he ended up buying all the silver back and giving it back to them.
Okay.
Not that bad of a dude.
Okay, good. Because I read that, and I was like, oh, he just murdered this entire family or something. Okay.
Yeah, I had tea with them. It said he even stole their teapot that had tea in it. They were having breakfast when he came in. And
so this guy's sweet to civilians.
Yeah,
he is. As we know.
He just wants to sink ships. He doesn't want to kill the people on land.
Yeah, he's sweet. So he has tea with them. They leaves. So he leaves, and again, everyone loves him. Dude's a hero. Returns to France, and he gets put in charge of a new boat. This one's a big boat. This one is called the USS, I believe, Bonhomme Richard or Ricard. Yep, it's French because it's a French boat. It was, I believe, built. It's a 42 frigate, another sloop of war built to a warship. This thing's built to fuck people up.
Yeah, the name had something to do with the honor Benjamin Franklin because they liked him there in France.
Oh, it was Bonhomme Ricard.
Yeah, I think that was his French name or something they gave him.
He was
literally
just partying out there during the...
Yeah, they liked
him. The guys are fighting. So he's in command of that, and he also gets put in command of a unit of warships. So he starts. He goes there, just offers his services. He's basically the head of this Navy. I mean, he's not at home, but he's at seas. He gets a warship, a unit of warships. He's in charge of this giant ship. He's done well for himself. And he's still out there just blowing up merchant ships. And they're targeting their goal when they were out there, which is kind of fucked. I mean, it's not fucked. They're at war. And this is a different type of war we can't understand, but he's targeting commercial ships. So some of these aren't military.
Yeah, it's just like British commercial ships. It's how war. You sink anything.
Well, they totally... I mean, that's why this guy is an interesting person and interesting... Because we might do Blackbeard next week. Interesting lead up to Blackbeard is this guy is a pirate. He's a pirate. And they told him, just go there. And the funny, when I was reading, it was said they told him to... plunder, and like they use pirate terminology. They were like, go fucking just go be a pirate and destroy everything you can up there. Get Feel away them. From America.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes sense. Those ships that he's blowing up, no matter what they are, they're heading to America.
Exactly. I mean,
it's That's a hard the only war thing for England to be fighting going way over there. So yeah. It's just like so anything he can take out is
it's total war.
Helping the colonies win the war. So
dominates them, and he comes upon while he's heading the Bonhomme Ricard, he comes upon another a fleet, basically, of 40 commercial ships, merchant ships. It might have been 40. Maybe that's too high. And then they were protected by two warships, two British warships. The names of the warships were the Countess of Scarborough. I had that wrong. And then the Seraphis.
Yeah.
And they were captained by this guy named Doug Pearson. Or not Doug Pearson. Richard Pearson. Doug Peterson, that's the Jacksonville coach. Beast. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
Wow. I remember.
Yeah, against the Patriots.
Yeah, sometimes.
He comes up on these guys and, you know, they kind of sail up. John Paul Jones takes a look at the situation, gets kind of close, but in his head he's like, oh, I'm going to fuck these guys up.
Yep.
They get up, and apparently, that's what I don't like when I'll read and it says somebody said something, but I get hyped, especially with his quote, I get hyped, but they said that Richard Pearson, the captain of the ships, when they kind of sailed to kind of a closer range, he said, who are you? And at that moment, John Paul Jones just let loose cannonballs on everybody. Just unleashed their might on them. And then this turns into a straight up battle. And then the Seraphis and the Countess of Scarborough fuck up the Bonhomme Ricard.
Yeah, they're more prepared for like open sea battle, shooting
way more
cannons at each other.
I mean, so they're battling with cannons. He literally the lower deck. At the point while it was still kind of a sea battle where they're away and we have distance, the lower deck was, you couldn't be in there. It was so bad. So John Paul Jones, he's like, what do I do now? I'm going to ram this bitch. He rams it into the Seraphis. And apparently, this is another quote, but it gets you pumped as shit. They said when he rammed it, Pearson yelled out to him. He was like, surrender. And then John Paul Jones said, wait. I can't fuck this up. John Paul, he said, surrender. I have not yet begun to fight.
Yeah.
They all jumped. The ships are colliding now. Mm-hmm. This guy just, I mean, suicided it. Drove it straight in. They're collided, linked up. It turns into, I mean, it look feels like a pirate movie at this point.
It
turns
is. They're
into,
invading.
They're jumping off the boat onto their boat, and it's a hand-to-hand battle.
Yep. Hours go by.
It was hours?
Hours. Said 3.5 hours of combat going on.
I wonder how much. Wait, was that hand-to-hand combat, or was that,
that was a total fight?
That was probably at total, but I wonder how much. Dude, sea battle is probably wild. If you would have ever played that game with me in high school, we could have figured that
sea
out.
Sea of Thieves.
Sea of Thieves. I can't believe there's no good pirate games.
I mean, that game is pretty good. People like that.
It's not.
We just
that
never
great.
Figured it out.
Don't say that.
We also played like
dumb.
Right when it started.
There's just. I'm telling you, there's a gold mine there for a pirate game. If you can make a pirate game,
yeah,
and you could be open world sailing, it's all you could want. As John Paul Jones would put in tons of hours into that game.
Definitely.
So they collide, hand-to-hand battle. Apparently 3 hours go by. Also, I saw this. I want to ask you. It said that the moment Pearson finally surrendered on this hand-to-hand battle was someone threw a grenade in there.
Yeah,
they
I saw
grenade?
That. Well, I'm not exactly sure what they blew up, but they threw it down underneath the ship where like
yeah.
men and all their artillery was
and
some form of grenade.
Something, a bang goes off and Pearson's like, enough.
Yeah.
He says, we surrender. Their ship, the Bonhomme Ricard, is literally mm-hmm. so fucked up they can't leave in that thing.
Yeah.
So they just get on the Seraphis. The Bonhomme Ricard, it sinks.
Yep.
He won a battle in a ship
they
that
did.
Sunk.
Mm-hmm.
They took the Seraphis, brought it back to France, and France propped them up. France
yeah.
was like, yo.
All of these prisoners of war, they just brought them on their own ship. They hijacked their ship, killed their first and second mate, and they're just like all right.
What the fuck is this guy? You're yeah. a beast. I mean, come on. That's the coolest. When you talk about military battles, that's the coolest thing ever. That's one of the coolest things. Just imagine visually what that shit looked like.
Yeah.
Do you think somebody swung like in the pirate movie?
Well, they probably thought they were winning too. They were like, oh, we're absolutely destroying them. They can't be stopped. Yeah. He literally was like, yeah, you sure you don't want to surrender?
He's
we're
like,
kicking your ass.
He's and laughing. He said, and he's like, is that ship coming at us?
Yeah. They're like, okay. And then, yeah, they just get on and they start. I mean, they're probably not trained for that. I wonder if John Paul Jones' crew. Exactly. They hear him saying shit like that, and they're just hyped up to fight. Because, like, they're winning. Because it's like, what? Britain probably just has nothing, like...
They're probably like, this guy. I heard this guy killed two people on his ship. We should listen to him. That's how you do it. You start young, do something super egregious, and then everybody for the rest of time is like, we'll listen to you.
Exactly. Yeah, they're losing. They're getting their ass kicked. They're, like, no moral. And he's just like, I'm just going to ram their ass. And everyone, I'm sick of shit. I'd be like, hell yeah, let's
had to be
do
the,
this.
I wish, I would love that to see that animated. That would be unbelievable. So he rides that back to France, shows it, brings the prisoner of wars. Everybody at this point is like, John Paul Jones is unbelievable. The King Louis literally knights him. King Louis knights him for this and gives him a golden sword.
Yep.
And in America, I think he got the medal of
valor. He got gold medals.
Yeah, America's like, we're not doing any of that stupid shit. Like, what? We'll just give you a medal of valor.
Yeah.
We don't have to give you a fucking golden sword and knight you. So he gets that. And like, the war's over, basically, by this point. And he's done. And he doesn't really know what to do. Because I'm a sailor.
Yeah, his life's on a boat. What's he supposed to do now? Where's the next war?
Yeah, I work for the Navy, but we're not at war anymore. What do I do? So he becomes a free agent, basically.
Yeah.
He is a free agent, and I don't know if it's the queen, the empress of Russia over there, Catherine II, she's looking at him and like, we got some cap space for this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Let's throw him a bag. They give him, I mean, he becomes the admiral of the Russian Black Sea Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
He is in charge. He got some money. He's living nice in Russia. And do you know a lot about, I mean, I know that the one real feat that he did was that there was a big attack from the Ottomans and he defended an Ottoman Turks. And he, for this, he got like some kind of medal. I forget.
Something, it's probably going to be exaggerated, but it said in a rowboat, him and some other crew were able to kill 3,000 Turks, destroying 15 vessels And then they took over 16 prisoners.
Wait, in a rowboat?
That's what it says. What? Yeah, so like, I'm not sure if maybe that's just how they started. Like,
they spent all their free agency money on him.
Yeah, 1,600 prisoners they took in this. And John Paul Jones, only 18 people ended up dying from his fleet after all that damage they did to the
So he did a great job.
To the Turkish fleet.
He got some military medal for it. He was, and people in Russia really liked him. They're like, this guy's a winner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he liked them too, because they were just also killers. Because he's quoted saying, I'm delighted with the courage of the Russians, which is more glorious because it is without show off. Like, he wasn't doing anything for glory. He was just out there because he wanted to sink ships.
Yeah, he goes, sailing. I wonder if he had sailing that cold. He probably never had to do that. He had to accustom to that. Yeah, which, But anyway, he ends up having to leave Russia kind of early. Some say it was because of this assault allegation that I didn't read that much again. All I saw was it ended up being false. So I was like, maybe I don't even have to read this. But what was the assault charge? So
basically, it was claimed that a 10-year-old butter seller named Katrina came to his house to sell him butter, and he raped her. But originally he denied it by saying he didn't rape her. He paid for basically prostitution from her, and then he was claiming she wasn't 10. She was older than that. And then he quickly changed his stance to being, oh, no, we just never had sex in general, and then started being like, her mom works in brothels and stuff. It probably runs in the family. They're just trying to scam me. But didn't go too well with the people.
Whatever,
like,
it was.
The pressures were great. If it wasn't, yeah. And like, basically, the Empress, even though she did still like him, was like, okay, probably just time to leave.
You know, he's had this situation twice. And the first time they threw him in jail, and he was like, not again. Yeah. He left Scotland before that got to a trial, and he saw this. He was like, I'm just going to bounce. Exactly. I'm going to go back to Paris. I love Paris. He loved Paris. So he goes there, and he's like, I retire. I'm done with the sailing.
Yep.
I'm going to go retire in Paris and live the rest of my life there. Which he does. 2 years. he dies in two years.
Very young guy, 45.
It was a weird thing where he was like having an inflamed kidney or something.
Yeah,
or like,
he just had a lot of like illnesses. I mean, it's back in a time where people weren't living very long anyway. There's a lot of disease. I mean, exactly. A lot of people on the ship.
Anything.
Yellow fever anyways.
But he dies.
It said he has nephritis and jaundice, but pneumonia was what killed him.
He probably looked like, wild. Yeah.
Damn. He was probably partying, just having sick. No will to live. He couldn't be on a ship anymore.
Yeah. When you're
his
on
time
a ship,
is his time.
I mean, the literal heartbeat of that ship, like, they're partying. You party when you're on a ship.
Yeah.
So when you're on a ship and that's your life every day, I mean, you got hard work to do, and you guys are on an adventure, and you're gonna drink and sing and have fun. He lived it pretty. I mean, his life was on a ship. I would imagine he was he'd probably gone through some, he had some miles on him. So 45, he's dead.
Yep.
And that's it. John Paul Jones dead. He was buried in France. And then we took America, went and got his burial site, brought it back. They put it in Annapolis, Maryland, which is where the U.S. Naval Academy is.
Yeah.
Because he is considered the father of the U.S. Navy. This guy went out there and made us known when we were just, such an underdog.
It wasn't like an immediate thing either. Like, he was pretty disrespected because, like, apparently his gravestone disappeared. So they're not sure if maybe they just never made him one, or if like it was stolen by people that either didn't like him or just whatever. And it wasn't until 100 years later when Teddy Roosevelt was like, this dude's a legend. Let's honor this guy.
Dude,
and they took like 6 or 7 years doing research, and then they finally found them.
Teddy was obsessed with the Navy. In his presidency. Well, even when he was younger, he wrote like a book called it was when he was in college in Harvard. He wrote a book about the War of 1812 and how we could have won this. And he was so obsessed with the Navy. And then when he gets into office, or even before that, he gets in charge of running the US Navy. He's like, he wants to build this shit, and he's a historian, so he was like, I'm gonna put this guy back where he fucking belongs. Teddy was a beast.
He was.
Gosh, he understood. Pretty awesome. A guy like John Paul Jones with that, you know, maybe he didn't like to sail as much, but he had that, he was ready to fight.
Killer mentality.
And if there's one thing that John Paul Jones was ready for, it was to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was John Paul Jones. I mean, he's not a big figure, but he's going to hold a place in my heart. Yeah. And I'll think about him.
I mean, pretty influential. Influential in that war.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the war that founded our country. So
the war that founded this country. And yeah. he, I mean, was basically his own offensive front by himself out. While this war is happening on our land, however far away England, and he's out there with a front on their home turf, fucking them up. And he had them in shambles. He did. And you couldn't figure him out. The guy was, if you can give him nothing, give him this. He was a unbelievable sailor and an unbelievable pirate.
Yep.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it easier when you're fighting a war here that you can just give this guy one or two ships and just destroys completely everything that they have.
John Paul Jones.
Yeah.
So, no, dude, listen, we did that.
We did.
I want to hear. Now, let me tell me what you're thinking the best future bet would be for the NFL this year. Because what I am saying to you, and, you know, not a lot of people get this far in, so they don't get this nugget of brilliance that's about to be dropped upon you. I am telling you right now, the Bears of Chicago will win 10-plus games.
I'll let you know right now, for the last 5 years, I've had to listen to Dave tell me that Justin Fields was MVP. Justin Fields this. The Bears are this. Every year, he convinces me, and then they win 3 or 4 games.
Well, can I tell
you? At this moment, it's quite difficult to look you in the eyes and believe that Caleb Williams is going to just magically fix your franchise when you still have Dweeberfuse as your coach.
What did you say his name was?
Dweeberfuse.
That's rude. I had a pretty I had a prophet moment the other day. I went to go see Dune.
Yeah.
My third time seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to sit through a 3-hour movie 3 times, the third time you're going to have to be under the influence a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I sat there, all I could see was Caleb Williams' face on Timothy Chalamet's little body.
A little bit of derangement.
I could see Ihsan Al-Ghaib. Mm-hmm. I could see that that crazy man in that movie that is obsessed with that prophet, I feel so much for him. And maybe I've had false prophets in the past. Maybe Justin Field, I will defend him because I watched a team that won 4 games maybe in the fucking, or however many in 3 years. And while he was at quarterback, I had fun watching it a lot because he made plays and it was a shit team and a shit organization. But we're back.
Caleb Williams doesn't change those other two factors you just spoke on, has been the Bears' issue.
No. Ryan Poles changes that. Starts from the head up. And since he's been in, this shit's been looking different.
We'll see.
Keenan Allen.
Can you guys beat the Packers?
DeAndre Swift.
Can you beat the Packers?
Okay, that's a sour. That's
that's just 2 games. That's, you have to at least win one of those if you're going to get to 10 wins.
If the Bears beat the Packers, I might die of alcohol poisoning. It's been so long. 2018 was the last one I had in Chicago. You know, the last time, I can't tell you the last time they won at Lambeau. Yeah. How about you feeling futures, NBA playoff futures? Let's just give this life. This can be our betting. Oh, you want a betting show? This is your betting show at the end. I'm going to talk to you.
I mean, NBA Celtics playoffs are looking elite. We're currently at Nuggets have just beaten the Lakers twice. 2 double-digit leads blown by the Lakers. Last night they did it with minutes left.
And now they're at home.
Buzzer beater win. Now they're at home. A lot to dig from. I mean, 2 games where you basically thought they'd won.
Give me your picks, because now we have this recorded online. Give me your picks for who's going to be in the finals. I'm going to say,
oh, it's going to be Celtics, Nuggets, Celtics in 6.
Okay, I'll say Celtics, Nuggets, Nuggets in 7.
Okay.
All right. That was enough. We've talked for quite some time now.
We
went over the life. The John Paul Jones is a smaller character.
Yeah.
He's almost an appetizer for us. Again, this is for us. While this is happening, there's not going to be a lot of people here right now. But what this is, it's a portal. You can't think about this going out that way. You have to think it in. This is a portal into this world in this moment we're living in right now. Fuck everything else.
Got to learn about an American hero.
Exactly.
Most people probably have never even heard of him.
Sit in this hot ass garage with us.
Yeah.
In this moment, they got this portal. And we learned a little bit.
We did.
We saw things, we heard things, we learned things.
Yeah.
And John Paul Jones, gosh, surrender, I have yet begun to fight. What the fuck? That's a beast.
It is.
But that was good. That was good, and we will see you next time. Again, I don't know how to do the professional shit. Like I would just keep rambling. So
make sure to like and subscribe.
No, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that. That makes it into something else. This is just we say goodbye. Here, shake hands. It's a good talk.
Goodbye, sir.
See ya.